Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is September 30th, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening over our Rumble or our YouTube or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on a donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading. Last week we started reading in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. So tonight we'll be picking up in chapter 2. So first, the epistle, 1 Peter, chapter 2, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls.
Okay, Jen, do we have, by the way, was I sharing the desktop all the way through that, both the song and the reading of the First Peter?
Yes.
Okay. Because I didn't see it from my side. It's kind of confusing the way I have to do this these days. But all right, thanks. Okay, do we have any questions or any announcements tonight? And before we do that, there was a short video I do want to play. Jan, do we have anything tonight?
We have only one question, John.
Okay, hang on to that one question.
Okay.
I may have played this a while back because I know this was recorded a while ago, but I picked it up on a recent video, and I don't recall whether we played it over our Monday night program or not, but I do want to, let me see if I can find this. I think it's right here. Okay. This is a very short clip. It's only a couple of minutes, and it's Dr. Jan Hayes concerning devolution, and Dr. Jan worked with the Trump administration, so she's got insight. And we'll play this couple-minute clip.
That is part of why we have this corrupt media. You could go to Wikipedia and find Operation Mockingbird, that the CIA has been in there forever. Then Obama repealed the 1948 Smith-Mundt Act, which then permitted propaganda to be in broadcasting. It no longer said that it had to be credible. And so when he came out and said fake news, he warned us at the end of his speech that it is going to be very hard. The establishment, the media, the globalists are all going to come after. They're going to try to intimidate, but he needed to smoke them out. And guess what happened? The next day, Congress on the Democrat side wanted to create a law that he couldn't run. Then what happened was the Republicans came out and said they were going to investigate Hunter Biden. And Friday, the Department of Justice, AG, launched an investigation, and he put the most corrupt prosecutor who hates Trump on it. Donald Trump actually plays chess on a 5D level, and you never can anticipate what his next move is going to be. Is it that his Mar-a-Lago was seized upon was that they really wanted to get the P's, the Presidential Emergency Act document, which is only what Trump knows and the military, that he had to put in place, because before he left, he declared two national emergencies. And you know what? Biden hasn't reversed that. Biden has signed on to three of his executive orders to continue them going. So we have some very fascinating things that are going to come out.
It's big.
Okay. I just wanted to play that, especially for people who don't realize or not sure whether there's going to be a military movement. Particularly through devolution. But anyway, Jan, what's the question? And do we have any announcements too, or just that one question?
Just the one question, John.
Okay.
It is, how long does it take to move for cause to federal court after an affidavit is submitted to intake?
Well, when you move it for cause, you obviously have to go through serving the other side. You have to give them usually 30 days to respond for that moving for cause, because probably challenging jurisdiction, which is usually the best thing to do, moving into federal courts. So 30 days ultimately for the other side to respond. Of course, they're going to try to throw you out of court and go through all that process, and who knows how long that's going to be before they do that, if they do that, and most likely, in most cases, they do that. Anybody who gets a success anywhere, it's only because they were caught off guard, maybe something kind of new, they didn't know how to deal with it, but then they do the tighten up, they get together and discuss things and figure out what their next strategy is going to be to prevent that very thing from happening again. You know, I had a success a while back with the IRS, a very big success. I'm sure they did the tightening up on that, and I don't know that anybody's going to be able to get through the process on a case like that, too. So, but again, the other side has to respond, and usually they'll respond trying to close it down, and you'll go back and forth. All right, and that's it? I think you muted, John.
Yeah, John, that's the one and only tonight.
Okay. Okay, we've got, let's see, well, let me close this off. All right, we have a meeting here in New York. I'm putting together a meeting. We've got quite a few people showing up to get a committee of safety going in my county, Dutchess County. And I'll be sending out an email to New York members and anybody in New York that would like to come to that meeting. We're going to have quite a few people there, I think. And we do have people coming from other counties. And if we get enough people coming from any particular counties, like this is going to be in Dutchess County, so if you're in Putnam County, Orange County, Ulster County, even Greene County or Columbia County, you know, that's all not too far away. And if enough people come from your county, you know, two or three or four, maybe you can work out the beginning of a committee of safety as we are starting to go through the process. We're going to be going through the process of setting up a charter and put together our resolutions and then going forward with a plan with the sheriff. What I did do is I posted a couple of videos up on Rumble and YouTube, and I placed it up on our site. Let's see where I put it. Oh, yeah. I put it under Start a Committee of Safety. Come down to the handbook videos, because I'm going to do a series of videos that will help people to try to bring together all the necessary things they need to do to bring the committees of safety, you know, into order, ultimately. And there is a process we put together. We do know that some people are starting committees of safety, and they're kind of going off course, so to speak. I don't know if they're reading the handbooks, and unfortunately sometimes someone will start something and they may not tie them into us and they take it another direction. We need to form our committees of safety so that we are interchangeable, in a sense that how we work with one committee of safety is doing the same thing in the other. And there are three places where is the most important. The political process. If people do not understand how the political process works, how the committeemen go out and achieve the necessary signatures to put an individual onto the ballot, and they don't understand how that breakup works, and a lot of these different jurisdictions as far as the election districts are concerned, some of these election districts run into other counties. So there has to be some communications, there has to be some agreement, there has to be working the strategy out so we can come together county to county and eventually state to state, too, to bring statesmen into, as our representatives. And so there's a lot to learn on that, and hopefully, you know, as time goes on, we'll pull in some committeemen, statutory committeemen, who will come over to our side, and they've got some good knowledge and understanding on how those things work and how the rules, Robert's Rules of Order works and so on and so forth. So they could be very helpful. But we can kind of fumble along on these things. We do know the structure. We do know how things work. We do know how the paperwork works in order to go out and get people on to the ballots, getting the walking list and so on and so forth. So that's on the political side of things. And, of course, what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance, our real big focus is on the judicial side of this, where we have a lot of papers that have gone into the Supreme Court and, mostly into the federal courts, but some of them, of course, the last couple of them, have been going up to the United States Supreme Court. And our final papers will be filed. I was planning on doing it at the end of the month. Today's the end of the month. I think by the end of the week it'll be filed out. And as soon as I file them out, then we'll post it up on the website. I'll send out a message to the membership to let it know, let it be known that we posted the paper that we filed. And then people could read it, hopefully share it, and we could try to make it go viral. It's a long paper, but it's a good read. It's an educational read because there's a lot in there that people need to know and need to understand in order to have government by consent, in order to understand the law, in order to understand how the court system works and how far they've gone off course and how we're going to bring them back to where we belong, back under the law, the common law, the law of the land. So we'll be working, getting that up there as soon as we can, and we'll be sharing this information. Now, I'm going to do a series of videos. I did two videos over the weekend. One of them was on the County Committee of Safety Charter, and the other one is on the County Committee of Safety Resolutions. We're going to listen to the charter one. It's about, I think it's about 12 or 13 minutes long. That's not too long at all. And maybe we'll talk about it if people have some information. But we're planning on really showing these two videos on the next meeting here in Dutchess County, which is going to be this Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Those who live in New York and might want to come in and, again, potentially get your own committees of safety in your own county if we have enough people. You know, last time we had a meeting up there to decide on whether we were going to start a committee of safety. We had three people from, I believe, Orange County. And I know we had at least one person from Putnam County. And I'm not sure, but we may have had a couple other people from other counties, other than maybe from Ulster or something. But in any event, again, we have to get these committees of safety going. We have to form them properly. There is a process. This isn't something that I have created. It's something that is the way it is. You know, you want to do something right, you want to do a charter, you want to do resolutions, you want to bring the sheriff on board. And as we go through this paperwork, I think you're going to see how we're going to intimidate the sheriff into educating himself, or we're going to get rid of him, one or the other. And we'll use them if we have to use them as we're trying to get rid of them if they're problematic, by paying them, because we need to serve papers at different meetings, and we want the sheriff on board with us, and if we can't get him on board with us, then he has to respond to serving papers, and we'll pay him to serve those papers at those meetings. But I don't think we're going to have to do that. I think once the sheriff understands what the situation is, what the common law is all about, and he can go to a place to learn the law and what his powers and authorities are, I think most of them will be on board. It is true, we do have some criminal sheriffs, just like we have criminal mayors or criminal governors or criminal police chiefs or whatever the case may be. You know, there's always people who will get into the criminal activities that hold powerful positions. But all in all, I think most sheriffs will respond, and I think they'll respond properly. And again, we will intimidate them. I think the paperwork will intimidate them. So anyway, we've got these two videos. I'm going to play one of them tonight, and maybe we'll play the other one next week, and maybe hopefully we'll discuss it a little bit. But we need to get this information down, of course, to those people who are building committees of safety right now. I'm going to do an introduction video, and so I'm breaking these up in pieces so they're not too long. The longest will be about a half hour, but I'd like to get them down to 15 to 20 minutes. But basically, we're going to do a lot of videos on what is already in the handbooks. And hopefully this will give people that view, that overview of what really needs to be done to bring together a committee of safety. So with that, we'll play this video, and then we'll go right into an open forum. The queue is open, so if anybody wants to get into the queue, you can get into the queue. If you're on a phone, I believe it's a *6 and a 1, you'll get into the queue. And if you're on an app or a browser, there should be a button there to push to get into the queue now that it's open. So we'll start off with this first one and take it from there. This video is sponsored by National Liberty Alliance. The purpose of this video is to propose Committee of Safety Charter that can be added to as the Committee of Safety sees fit. It is important to structure your committee of safety that is consistent with other committees of safety in order to work together, county to county and state to state, with a focus on taking back our local governments, cities, towns, villages, and county first. And only then, working together, can we take back control of our state and federal governments. United we stand, divided we fall. It is important to realize that the purpose of NLA is to facilitate an education, organization, council, and assist in communications among the county committees of safety to discuss and solve problems on the state and federal level. NLA believes that committees of safety must be free and independent and to act as they see fit. NLA has no desire to lead the committees of safety, only educate and advise. As Thomas Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Your state, your county, Committee of Safety Charter. We, the people of your county, hereby certify that on, whatever the date may be, in the year of our Lord, 2024, or 25, or whatever, your County Committee of Safety assembled, resolved, and adopted this charter on behalf of we the people of your county in order to secure the Union, preserve justice, ensure domestic tranquility, restore the militia, promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, and exercise our unalienable right of government by consent. This charter may be updated to add to or alter as necessary by the approval of popular vote of a quorum. There is no limitation to the number of committeemen, for it is an unalienable right of all the people to have government by consent. Many hands make light work. County Committee of Safety, Authority and Purpose. The purpose of the County Committee of Safety is for we the people to exercise our unalienable right of government by consent. The County Committee of Safety is primarily humanitarian and to protect, defend, and support the Constitution for the United States of America and to assist the sheriff and jury administrators in securing the rights of the people. Committees of Safety, historically speaking, empowered the people at the grassroots to return control of their local government back under the will of the people. The County Committee of Safety supports the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which has filed a writ quo warranto and a final presentment to the United States Supreme Court, exposing the enemy of liberty, both foreign and domestic, and is determined to take back our judiciary and restore our courts of justice. Committees of safety are needed to take back control of our political and judicial process at the grassroots level. In 1774, the various committees of safety called for the First Continental Congress. Delegates to that Congress went from town to county to provincial level committees before being selected to go to Philadelphia. In Western Massachusetts, committees of safety focused the resignations of rogue judges appointed under the Massachusetts Government Act of 1774. The committees of safety is the very same method that our founding fathers used to take control of their local governments. These free and independent committeemen built the nation we inherited. We the people, through the true committeemen at the grassroots level, will take control of our local, state, and federal governments, filling political vacancies with statesmen who will honor their oaths and remove via recall all tyrants that have seized control of various political positions. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor forbidden by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Amendment 10. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That when any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Declaration of Independence. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. U.S. Constitution, Preamble. If anyone has been dispossessed without the legal judgment of his peers, from his lands, castles, franchise, or from his right, we will immediately restore them to him. And if a dispute arises over this, then let it be decided by the 25 jurors, by whom mentioned is made below in the clause for securing the peace. Moreover, for all those possessions from which anyone has, without the lawful judgment of his peers, been deceased or removed by our elected or appointed servants, we shall immediately grant full justice therein. Magna Carta, 52. County Committee of Safety Goal. The goal of the Committee of Safety is to maintain safety in the community by requiring our servants in government to obey the Constitution and the constitutional chain of command during a national emergency. Whereas the People's Bill of Rights will be protected and secured by the only elected constitutional law officer, the county sheriff. We will present to the sheriff a copy of the Declaration of Independence, U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, the County Sheriff's Common Law Handbook, and the book Government by Consent. And if the sheriff is not up to the job of honoring his oath, we will recall him. FEMA has engaged a national readiness exercise under the code name of Rex 84. Which called for the suspension of the Constitution and the turning of a complete control of our local government over to FEMA while using UN troops to keep law and order during a national emergency. FEMA's plans leaves out the most important part of rebuilding America, we the people, and a free and independent local government. The end results of Rex 84 is a New World Order America without our 1789 Constitution. We, the people, through the County Committees of Safety, will prevent this by informing and educating our elected and appointed servants within our local governments. Our government is still intact. It's just shrouded by the evil veil of corporatism. Subcommittees to the General Committee. Definitions and rules of the County Committees of Safety are found under the County Committee of Safety resolutions. The following committees are to be initiated. Education Committee, educate the people in government by consent and visit schools to require a proper education, such as civics, constitution, natural law, court access, etc. The Political Committee. Supports candidates that will learn and obey the Constitution and recall all elected representatives that are acting outside their constitutional authority. For more information, see Committee of Safety Committeeman Handbook, found at nationallibertyalliance.org/handbooks. Judicial Committee oversees the jury administrators and assists people who are having a problem with a bureaucrat, assisting them in gaining access to a grand jury, if necessary. Militia Committee, to instruct all members in their duties as part of the militia. For more information, see Militia Codes, Rules, and Resolution Handbook, found at nationallibertyalliance.org/handbook. Committee of Correspondence, communicate with other county committees of safety. Establish other committees as determined by popular vote of a quorum. Plan of action during an emergency. The Constitution provides for the people under the sheriff's control to maintain law and order under posse comitatus. The people need to work under the authority of local government to compassionately help their neighbors in times of crisis. If the federal government wants to help by sending aid, we will accept it. Posse Comitatus Act, 1878. The power or force of the county. The term refers to a doctrine of ancient English common law authorizing a sheriff to summons the assistance of the able-bodied male population above the age of 15. These appointed special deputies would aid the sheriff in keeping the peace, executing writs, quelling riots, capturing felons, and otherwise enforcing the laws. Unlike the organized militia, a posse was usually gathered as needed. The practice continued in the United States as the posse became necessary in American colonial and frontier traditions. America has 18,443 towns and 297 cities, with an estimated of 323.7 million people. The federal government cannot possibly compassionately help all of we the people. All Americans need to come together and work together. This is the way of a free and moral people. We the people will not go to FEMA camps. We will remain in our communities and work with our local sheriffs and local governments authorities to help and care for our family, friends, and neighbors. Whereas an emergency that would cause chaos in our counties, such as a monetary collapse or other national disruption, hereinafter called national disaster, and thereby law and order would need to be reestablished, and our community would need protection from would-be tyrant, criminals, Roman gangs, etc. The security of our liberties, our Constitution, and the guarantee of our Republic requires that every county have a chief executive and administrative officer. Our common law Constitution has already established such a chief executive and administrative officer. We, the people, being a lawful people, will require the obedience of all elected and appointed servants to serve and obey the law of the land. During a national disaster, it is therefore resolved that local government is the closest to the people and the most capable to respond to and serve the people during a national disaster, and therefore local government control shall not be relinquished to any state or federal authorities. We, the people, working with and through our local governments, are the authority and understand the needs of the people. All sheriffs in a state of emergency shall perform their sworn duty to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution for the United States of America, and protect the people of the county, their private property, and to work with other county sheriffs across the state and the nation to do the same. If the sheriff permits the suspension of the U.S. Constitution in his county, liberty will be lost forever. And he too then wars against the people and will be tried for treason. All city police, town police, village police, and state police are subservient to the sheriff. The county sheriff is to notify all police enforcements operating within his jurisdiction that he has taken 100% control of the security of the county, and all law enforcements are to report to the sheriff as per the sheriff's protocol. The county sheriff is to exercise posse comitatus during an emergency as he deems necessary. The county sheriff is not to share or relinquish said control with any federal or state agency. In times of an emergency, the only constitutional authority to keep the peace during an invasion is posse comitatus under the Second Amendment, whereas our sheriff is to summons we the people of the counties to secure the peace. Federal agents and foreign troops on state soil would be repugnant to our Constitution, an act of war. All elected officials and law enforcement are to be on guard against tyrants who are anxious to seize upon a national emergency in order to bring in martial law and destroy America. Local emergency services during a national emergency ought to proceed according to the existing protocols. When necessary, additional volunteers shall be trained to handle projected emergencies during a national disaster. The Fifth Amendment common law grand jury shall continue to operate and consider indictments concerning all criminal charges. The Sixth Amendment common law trial by jury shall continue to operate. Each town is to provide for the receiving of the people for the filling of voluntary work positions with towns, county, and local businesses in order to provide water, food, services, electricity, security, etc. All able-bodied people are to participate. Simply put, if you don't work, you don't eat. Each town is to have weekly town meetings at venues large enough to accommodate all the people, outside venues if necessary. In order to accommodate the people to the people, the state of the town and the county, and discuss openly problems and solutions. We the people on, whatever the date may be, in the year of our Lord, 2024, through the York County Committee of Safety, unanimously adopt this charter to secure domestic tranquility in our community. Now, if it's not unanimously adopted, we need at least 3/4 of the people, but we should work out negotiations back and forth to make sure we get something unanimous, if at all possible. Okay, sealed and signed by the chairman, co-chair, and secretary. Okay, all right, this is the first time I was listening to that. I could see parts of this I need to redo. But in any event, I don't know if we want to discuss this a little bit, if anybody has any ideas to add things to it. We did put together also a resolutions, and the resolutions gets a lot of points of what we resolved to do. But basically, you know, the charter really lays out what the purpose of a committee of safety is for, which is mostly, of course, government by consent is the key, maintaining law and order during emergencies, and a few other things as we've listed out here. We've also listed by what authority we the people act, and what we need to do to take back our government. I mean, basically, we have to get rid of tyrants. We could do that through recall. People need to understand, you know, there are some states they claim recall is illegal because they don't have statutes. We the people don't need statutes to do anything. We do what we want. We're the lawmakers. And of course, that's just something to prevent the people from exercising their unalienable rights of government by consent. And they've done a lot of things to prevent that. They've destroyed our courts. They've destroyed our political process. They've destroyed our economy. They destroyed our schools. They've destroyed our morality. They destroyed everything. And only we the people can return and take it back. And this is so important that people get involved in committees of safety. And if there is none in your neighborhood, in your county, start one. Even if you don't want to take a leadership role, at least take the responsibility to put your name up there and try to get conversations going with up on our website, that is. You can put it up here. Underneath the directory, you can find your particular county. So you pick up whatever state you're in. You know, again, I'll click on New York. Where is New York here? There it is. And if you go to your state, you'll find out how many members are in your state. You'll find out how many counties. And then you can also get a list of the counties that already started committees of safety. We're going to be trying to connect with people who have already started committees of safety. We really haven't had that opportunity to try to really make good communications with them, but we're working on that. And Terry, have you had a chance to take care of that communication set up with our committees of safety yet so that we can speak to them through emails?
Terry had to step out for a minute, John. I'm not sure with everything else she's got going if she's had time to do that.
Yeah, well, I told her that was the priority about all things. But I know she's got a lot of work to do, though. Okay, I'll talk with her tomorrow anyway. Okay, I'm looking to see how many committees of safety we have moving at the moment. We have a total county committees of safety organizers, 190 of them, so they're starting to get up there. We need 3,100, well, probably about 3,000. There's some counties that doesn't have much of a population living in it, and they may not, well, they have tight-knit communities anyway, and I guess they should start committees of safety even there, too. So, but anyway, 3,133 or 34 counties is what's in America, and we have to get committees of safety going in all of them. We have to, you know, salvage our sheriffs. The sheriffs, the condition of our sheriffs in America is really in a desperate situation. I didn't realize how desperate it is. And that's one of the things we're working through the courts to deal with also. In filing our final paper, which is a presentment. We're not asking for anything. We're telling them what they need to do. And again, we'll be sharing that paper as soon as we start serving, which hopefully we'll get those papers out by the end of the week, and maybe by Monday we'll have this paper posted. People could read through it. They can give us some comments on it. We can talk about it. And I think they'll understand a lot more of what's going on in the courts if you read through that paper. It's a long read. It's like reading a short book, but it's about 127 pages. But it's well worth it, and it's an education. And you owe it to yourself, your posterity, your children, your family, your neighbors. You know, this is what we need to do if we're going to save America. No one man can save this nation. Trump and the military can take these people out and give it back to the people, but the people have to be able to receive it. They have to have the knowledge to receive it. They have no clue on how to have government by agent, government by consent. And I speak to myself first. I didn't know. And, of course, these past years I've been learning. And so does everybody else have to learn. I listen to what's going on in Congress and the Senate often. And
you want to do that, man?
Someone saying something? Dan, your mic's open. I'm trying to think where I was here. Again, I lost my place here. Oh, I listen to a lot of what's going on in Congress, and I'm so irritated. How many times these people talk about our democracy? We don't have a democracy. I think everyone that comes to National Liberty Alliance's meetings and is participating and educating himself, of course, know that. But it's unfortunate Congress doesn't know. The senators don't know. These people are well-informed people, yet they don't know that we are not a democracy. We're not both a republic and a democracy. That's an oxymoron. Cannot exist. You know, a democracy is destructive. A democracy has two-party system or more, and all they do is just destroy whatever you have. Where 51% rule over the 49, and that's not what we are. We are a people of law, where the whole nation could be against one person, but the law stands to protect that one person, because that's what's right and just, the law. And so we have to inform these people that do remain, and I'm talking about a lot of good people that are really doing some good work, even Trump. Doesn't seem to understand we're a democracy. We're a republic. I've heard him use the word democracy. Supreme Court justices, I've listened to them talk about us being, how could they not know that we're a republic? How is that possible? How far have we gone? You know, this is our fault, ultimately, okay? Because we've become lazy. And we need to step up and do what has to be done to take it back and inform our neighbors and everyone else and the people within our governments. They need to understand who we are as a people. And that we are a Christian nation. We are a common law republic. Parties are destructive. We should have no part of it. We need to get rid of parties. George Washington was crystal clear of the destruction already taking place. Before he even left office, he spoke about the destruction that these people were doing that had these parties. The first party was the Federalist. And that sounds like maybe that was a good idea. No, it wasn't. And the matter of fact, the Federalist, I believe it was 1801. Maybe it was the end of 1700s, but I think it was 1801 when the Federalist Party morphed into what we know today as a Democrat Party. And they brought a lot of problems with it. Slavery, they kept it alive, and a few other problems that had been destructive to our nation. Our courts have been destroyed, and they started working on that while we were in colonies. In 1750, the king sent legions of bar attorneys in order to destroy our judicial system. They created civil law courts and the chancery courts with the chancellor. I don't know if you ever watch some of these movies on TV, the way English law works sometimes, and you know, they judge, jury, and executioner. And that's what we have. We have judges who make all the decisions. They become the jury. They decide what they're going to do, and then they execute the law and whatever it is, put you in jail or give you a big fine or whatever the case may be. And that's that of course is chancery courts. It's a problem. By the time the Constitution was in play, there were many, many chancery courts in the colonies, and already even moving out west. And they're still amongst us. As a matter of fact, Pennsylvania courts are still often called chancery courts. And it's not just Pennsylvania, there are other states too. But ultimately, no matter what they call them, they're all chancery courts. They're all civil law courts. Civil law courts all come from Babylon. And Babylon law was repackaged under Justinian law. Justinian law over time was repackaged under Roman law. Roman law over time was repackaged in municipality law, the law of the city, civil law. And what do we have today? We have civil law, which is nothing more than Babylonian law. And Babylonian law is all about enslaving the people. It's part of the process. Just like taxes, slaving the people. Taxes on your properties, slaving the people. Licenses, slaving the people. So we live in a statutory prison, and we didn't even realize it. Hopefully people are waking up to that now. Okay, let's go over to the queue, see if anybody's in the queue, if anybody has any questions, comments, corrections, or anything to offer. Get into the queue, star 601 on the phone, and should be a button to get into the queue if you're on a phone or if you're on an app or browser. Take our first person. Anthony, how you doing? From Texas. You got the mic. How you doing?
Well, we would have went harder, but they were butt naked on the side. They were butt naked on the sidewalk.
Anthony, you got the mic.
Going hard.
Okay,
I'm going
to go to Bob. Right. Well, we only got one person in the queue if anybody wants to get in there. Bob, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Thanks a lot. We've got a situation here in Texas, and our commissioner's court received a notice from a justice of the peace that he was going to retire, and that was like July 1st. Anyway, there are certain time requirements that determine if an election will be called or that a replacement will be appointed. So it's been uncovered and published just this morning that they held notification to the people for 7 weeks so that they could appoint a new justice of the peace. I think we have a case against our county judge and probably maybe the whole court for violating our Republican form of government, where we the people elect those who serve us, and we elected these guys. They hid information for 7 weeks that we had to get a new justice of the peace. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out and see if you had any comments about it.
Well, excuse me. Well, when anybody leaves office before their time is up, there should be, I know, take for instance, I have some, let me see what state, I think it's Florida, where they have a statutes, which are lawful statutes, requiring certain things. I know with the sheriff, for instance, and this is true with anybody in any office, if someone leaves prematurely, if the election is coming up within a certain period of time, usually less than a year, I would presume, then the governor or maybe whoever else might be the hierarchy of that position would then be able to appoint an individual to fill that seat until the election comes. But if it's going to be a couple of years or over a year, then they require a special election. So I'm sure if you go into, you maybe some information on this in your constitution, go look in your constitution to find out if there's anything specific in there. But if not, then you're going to want to look into the I think you said you're in Texas, right?
Right.
In Texas, then go look at the statutes in Texas. They'll be broken down, you know, if you look at the, go to look at up the statutes, the codes. For instance,
what I'm saying on Twitter, it's Sarah is censored, and she's the one that looked into all this. She's really thorough on what she does. I actually called my incoming commissioner, who will take office at the turn of the year, but. And she confirmed that this was correct. So what happened was our existing judge withheld notification of the in court that a vacancy had occurred, and he held that for 7 weeks so that he could appoint, you know, who the judge would be.
Well, I understand that. That's a problem, and that is part of the process that they lay all that out, that once a vacancy happens, they have to report that immediately to the Board of Election to begin with, and other entities or government agencies or whatever the case may be. Again, it would all be written into the law. So, yeah, what they did is they broke the law. I'm familiar with that, with the sheriff case also, which is problematic, and it's exactly the same thing. They appointed a sheriff, and even though the sheriff's term still had, I think, over 2 years left for the term, they were supposed to notify the Board of Election of the time period, and the Board of Election was supposed to set up a special election in order to fill that vacancy. But again, you read all this stuff in the law, and you'll get that information. It sounds like somebody's already doing that, so they probably already know what's going on and what could be done and what can't be done. They could pull that into the courts and require them to be obedient. Now, of course, you're dealing with a judge, I guess, right?
Well, it's a Smith County judge. He's actually a fireman. And
but what kind of a judge? Is he a state judge, a county judge?
County judge.
He's a county judge. Okay, well, you could take that into the state court and require them to be obedient to the Constitution and the laws of that state. And that's the, you know, the remedy, really. You know, the only places I know where anybody can fill the position is board positions, local communities. If, for instance, if a board member, let's say we did a writ quo warranto and just threw out the entire board, a town board or a school board or some any other board, you know, we threw them out for a writ quo warranto for violating their oaths and against the Constitution, and then anybody can seize those seats for a position until the next election. And I'm sure there's something in, probably within their minutes, within their charter, shall I say, and their resolutions, that would provide for that kind of a situation and what the process might be and how long, for instance, if the seat is vacant for less than a year, then anyone can fill it and it'll just wait till the next election. But again, if it's further away, then maybe this or that. Whatever it is that they put together. And again, that might very already be in the charter within whatever board it is that we're dealing with.
He's already violated what the constraints are.
I understand. So he broke the law. It's taken into the state court. That's where you start. You have to start with the state court. Is that what the plan that the individual looking into this, is that what they're thinking?
It's really more of me that's going to be sounding off at Commissioner's Court tomorrow, notifying the judge that he's, you know, violated his oath of office.
Well, that may be the beginning of it, and it is, I don't know that you can say that, well, they broke the law, there's no doubt about that, so I don't know how that would stand. I mean, you know, I know there is a situation we've heard of where board members were acting in an improper way and having meetings that were private without notifying the community of those meetings. They have to be open meetings all the time. And a couple of lawyers came in and said, hey, you can't do that. It's against the law. And they said, we could do what we want. And they had the sheriff come in and they got arrested, the whole board. Okay, so I don't know how far that would extend to something that you're looking into. Again, you got to go into the codes, the statutes, to see what's going on. And again, the process is going up the line. Maybe at that meeting or whatever is coming up, you said they were coming up with some kind of meeting or something. Maybe at that it could be settled. Maybe you bring up the law, maybe that'll settle it. But they got to obey the law. If they refuse to obey the law, you got to take affidavits of their refusal at that meeting. Get as many people as you can to write affidavits, and that's what you're going to take into the courts. And if they're keeping minutes, and they should be keeping minutes, you want to get a copy of those minutes.
Yeah, that's another problem. I'm the one that observes all these breakings of the law. We actually had a minutes. You know, the minutes were voted for approval a month after, you know, they were taken, and they actually changed part of what was actually recorded a month prior so that it would comply with the law.
Mm-hmm.
So
you guys got a committee of safety going on down there?
Of sorts. And
Shorts is not necessarily good because
now, what we have is I've got 25 people that are in different precincts in Smith County, and then I've got 58 delegates that are in Texas Senate District 1, and those are in separate.
I don't understand all that because I don't live in Texas, but I presume that those individuals are within one county or numerous counties.
The precinct workforce is within one county.
So you're dealing with statutory. You're dealing with the statutory committee men, correct?
It goes with the first sentence of U.S. law, you know, our declaration, and it also goes with the platform of the Republican Party.
Okay, that's the point I'm trying to get to right there now. You see, you're talking about precincts, you're talking about individuals, you're probably talking about the committeemen, and the committeemen are the statutory committeemen, the unlawful committeemen that are controlled by party bosses and who have seized control of the counties, and they, you know, and they give that seizure up to the state, and the state up to the federal, and it's controlled by the New World Order. This is the problem with the statutory committeeman process. It was never meant to be that to begin with. As a matter of fact, there was a clause here. It was called the Washington Clause here in New York law, which prevented any group of people from calling themselves a political party and operating in as working through the precincts the way that they're operating right now. And they removed that law here in New York, I think it was 1909. The last time it was seen in 1911, the law grew like five times. I mean, they just put all kinds of stuff in there, and that particular clause, and I'm sure other clauses, were taken out. But that's the problem. You need people that are free and independent. You need to learn how to have government by consent. You need to learn how to take control of your political process, your judicial process, your educational system. You need to get together with the militia, get your militia going within your county. Join together with other counties, militia to militia, and do it properly, because we have a book on codes on how that operates and how that works.
Each person that I'm talking about swore an oath. Each person that I'm talking about swore an oath to the Constitution. The Constitution and our Declaration is almost identical to the Republican Party platform in Texas. We've got 270 items, 79 of them are related to Bible verses, just like those laws that no human law should be suffered to contradict what Blackstone said about, you know, laws of nature, nature's God, you know, our first sentence. So our argument is since we have, overall, we have to abide by the oath that we swore to our Creator. And
right, but the thing is you're talking about precinct committeemen, though, right?
They are Christian.
I understand that, but you're talking about still the precinct committeemen. These are the individuals, and they broke away to some degree. We had a county here north of us, and it was run by a retired police officer. I think he was a lieutenant or a captain. But in any event, he was retired, and he got involved in the committeeman process, and he turned the county rogue. He broke away from the leadership. Took control of the leadership and broke away from the control of the state level upon that county. And they did a lot of things that were just contrary to the way the norm goes, but it's one county. So you can potentially, through the committeeman, seize control to a certain degree. But you don't have the process of working the educational problem within your counties. The committeemen don't get involved with that. Nobody's involved with that. And that's why we have a problem demoralizing our children. You don't have anything there to take the judicial process back. It's only on the political process. And the political process is all, the only thing they teach in the committeeman process is how to fill, vacancies, okay? So in whatever election district it might be. And that's all they involve themselves with. And then, of course, if they're controlled by party bosses, you see, every county is controlled by 4 to 5 county bosses, okay? They are handpicked. You don't get those positions unless you get above.
We seated a firebrand, and she will be taking office at the start of the new year. And she's going to be a wrecking ball for what they have there.
What's the office she's holding?
Commissioner. We have 4 of them.
What, commissioner of what?
Of Smith County, Texas. 300,000 people.
I don't understand. A commissioner of what? What's the commissioner?
Of the county.
County commissioner. Okay, because there's a commissioner for many, many things. So it's a county commissioner. So the best that's going to happen is to save, maybe liberate one county. But liberating one county, you have no other county to work with. You want to take the state back. And in order to take the state back, you have to have counties working together. And that's why the true committeeman, the lawful committeeman, is those people who are within the committees of safety. That's where the committeemen come from. You know, the committee of safety was seized, they seized control of it as time went on, sometime after our founding fathers passed, and so over the years, eventually they were seized control. That was a bar move. They statutorized the whole process. They kept these parties going to divide people. They took control, placed in party bosses. Like I said, every county has 5 individuals that's part, and the chairman and the co-chairman particularly are the county bosses. I mean, people come in, so to speak, no exaggeration, to kiss their ring. I mean, that's not in a literal sense, but figuratively speaking. I remember we had a meeting going when we were trying to elect a governor here in New York, and went down to a meeting down in, I think it was Westchester County. It was pretty, a lot of people there, and this guy was up there talking, trying to get the votes, and the chairman came in. And it was like God walked into the room, literally. I mean, that's how powerful these chairmen are. If a chairman calls an individual that they worked with to bring into office, that individual, whoever they help to get into office, will respond to that individual and will be obedient. The problem is they're not constitutional and not bringing them under the Constitution. They're just leading them into the process of really the New World Order, ultimately. Every state is controlled by, again, four to five individuals, particularly the chairman, the state chairman, and a state co-chair. And those people are controlled on a federal level because there's the national. And the whole thing is just a structure of control to bring in, to put criminals in, the criminals in on the right or the criminals in on the left. It doesn't matter to them who gets into the office, Republican or Democrat, in most cases, because most of them are criminals. Those are the only ones that's going to get walked, their papers. And sometimes a good person gets in, but generally speaking, that's difficult.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to say, you should consider getting all these people together and pushing forward committees of safety and working the counties next door.
What I'm doing, I've actually got the guy that ran for county chairman. I told him to listen in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And
but again, those county chairmen usually are controlled unless they've really rebelled against the upper system, which is difficult to do, but it happens.
It goes by the number of votes that they get, and the way that I put out my sample ballots.
Well,
and,
you know,
pass out thousands of them. I encourage other people to pass out hundreds or thousands, and that's how we got this commissioner in with this. Plan that nobody.
But again, and then the claws come down from above, okay? And again, the people, some people, that one of the counties north of us did that, they broke away and seized control, and they were just like rogue to the system. And they got a lot of things going and done right in their county, in the different towns and within their counties, but. You know, they didn't really get anything outside the county. They weren't able to really make major changes on the state level. They were able to get good representation to some degree. But you see, even with that, let's say you're going to go get your, you're going to put your congressman into power. You want to get a good congressman up there to represent you. Well, when you go to bring a congressman in, it's just not that one county. It may be two or three or more counties, and it may be a piece of this county and a piece of that county, which is the election district who represents that particular individual that you're trying to get into office. So again, it gets back to working with other counties. So you have to understand how the whole process works. Now, the committeemen understand the political process and all these different election districts and how they cross over from one point to another, particularly in the counties. But it's difficult. It's difficult to break away from the power above.
I think we agree more than you know.
Oh no, I believe you do. What I'm saying is, you may have a county that went rogue and started to try to obey the law and do the right thing. So you may have that, and if that's what you have, that's a good thing. But I would eventually talk to those people about doing something independent of statutes, independent of the parties.
Absolutely.
Parties have got to go.
Everything we're doing, it has to be pursuant to Article 6, the Constitution, and not any statutes. You know, there's the private, and then there's the public sphere that's the commerce and the banking and all that stuff. But we, the people, wrote the Constitution to protect our right of free action, our liberty. And so that way, and that's what Gorsuch is doing with the Bruin case and Jarski and Loper here recently, is getting back to the original intent of the Constitution. So we're getting away from or any reliance or any justification for statutes when it goes with our liberty and what laws we follow.
Mm-hmm. Just for a second here. By the way, there's still only two people in the queue. One we're on, one other person. So anybody else wants to get into the queue, again, phone *6 and 1, phone or app or browser should be a button. Bob, I understand what you're saying, and again, it's kind of isolated. What I'm suggesting, though, is to talk to all those people, and why don't you think about forming outside the system totally. Break away 100%. Form committees of safety. Become completely free and independent. Get involved in taking back the court systems and the political systems and the educational systems.
I'm saying, you know, it's not exclusive one or the other. The people that are in some part of the party can also do these other things for God and country, you know.
I understand that they're trying to do the right thing. They may have broke away, but another problem that they don't even realize, and you just mentioned it, is for the party. Parties destroy. Parties set one against the other.
They're terrible. And yeah. I'm trying to hold everybody to the oath at which they swore, and it's pretty easy to do because the similarities between what our founders went through and what the party platform is here in Texas is very similar.
Okay. All right. Well, anything else?
All right. That's it.
Okay. Appreciate it. All right. Well, good luck with that. And, you know, again, consider talking with them and, you know, investigate.
I put 15% of the chairs that we have in office.
Yeah, but the thing is if you're working with the Republican Party, you're working with the enemy.
I'm working with these people that fear God more than me.
You have to cut the line and disconnect. I mean, again, you can have some success in your county, but that's as far as it's going to go. And you may not be able to really get much success and get good people in office, especially in on a federal level, because you're being shared with other counties, and they're all controlled by party bosses. Let me tell you. A mess. It's a total mess. And a lot of these votes, and again, maybe you have honest votes. You know, maybe you have it in public with a raising of the hand. But a lot of the votes that I've experienced and talked with other people in other places, the same thing is the votes are done in private. And people will come up, sometimes they'll do a showing of the hands, but all of a sudden someone comes in with proxy votes. Well, proxy votes aren't even allowed in Congress. They shouldn't be allowed in any committee.
No, and, all of our votes are by raise of hands or standing up.
Right, that's the key. That's the only way to do it in public. So, but again, you know, then when you collect, because let me tell you, the different political divisions that break off into other counties, you know, at some point in time they collect. If you don't do it together, but depending on how they do it, again, you know, you're dealing with other counties that are coming in. And again, they're controlled by party bosses. It's problematic. Again, you can control your county to some degree, but you're not going to get anything above it.
Okay. We are controlled by the two laws, the only two laws that our founders had when they declared independence, and that's creation in the Bible, and we have to follow those, and no human law should be suffered to contradict those. And when those statutes and all that contradict those, then they are no law at all, and that's what Gorsuch is trying to give us with these, like, unanimous decisions from SCOTUS.
Well, you know, again, hopefully if you can get it up to that level, which is difficult, but he's probably in your district and you're taking it up to him as through the appellate process and he's getting involved, and that's a good thing. But for most of us, that is not the case, because that is the problem. You'll start applying the statutes, and when the statutes are applied and you buck them because you say, hey, they're unlawful, they're unconstitutional, they're repugnant, well, then you get into the courts, and the courts are controlled just as much as the parties, and you don't win. But if you have a good appellate process, you know, and Gorsuch is up there at the top end, and you're able to get the case up to him, which is another problem or situation, trying to get the case before him. Get things done a little bit anyway.
We went to see him at SMU like 2-3 weeks ago, and the lady I was with said he was the reason she is in law school now. And he said, I want to make sure that when you graduate, that we have dinner together.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I appreciate the call, Bob, and good luck. And it sounds like you may have something going, but again, it's going to be limited. And That's the problem. We've got to get rid of parties altogether at some point in time. And, you know, we have a plan for that. And if you go through our handbooks and all the information we have under Starter Committee of Safety, you'll see that plan come to play. And I'll try to do maybe a video on that. Okay, Bob, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Right, we'll take our next caller here. It looks like, is it Richard? Yeah, Richard. What state are you from again? I know we spoke before.
Yes, can you hear me?
No, it's Ricardo, I'm saying, not Richard. Ricardo.
Yeah. Well, Richard is the name. Ricardo is a pseudonym.
Well, is it Richard? Let me see. Okay. Looks
I've
like
got like two or three different account names, and one is Big Guy. And
yeah, I see that Big Guy here.
If I was actually signed in or logged in or signed in or signed up. So I did it two, three different times because I had a hard time getting out. But anyway, whatever it is. My question is this. We kind of talked a little bit about it before, but just always run out of time. But we got kind of on to the end of it. It's on a lease, tenant lease, fraud. I mean, misrepresentations, duress, and all this stuff. And we moved out. The lease says that what my question is that, and there's a number of breach of contract. She promised to put our name on the utility bills, which the lease contract said before you get the keys. I don't know if you remember that one. All right.
Yeah, I remember some of this, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, none of that ever happened, and I kept bringing it up, and the city was even came out and verified it was a broken water main, which was after the meter. There's only one meter. We didn't find out until a year and a half later there's only one meter on those four connected townhomes. They all have a common wall, and the city maintenance department, and she never disclosed this. And she made, at least it made it look like individual meters for each unit. And it specifically says we're responsible for the water and sewer and the garbage for our unit. There's A, B, C, and D units. And then there was five or six doors in the apartment that were damaged, had holes in them. And there were the four bedroom doors all had holes in them. The laundry room, it's a three level. There were three bedrooms and upper level on the third level, and then an apartment with its own full bath on the lower level, in the basement, I guess I'd call it. But all the doors had holes in them, and a lot of the holes were some big ones, like somebody kicked it, and they're cheap doors, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, they're hollow, probably.
They're hollow, that's the word I was looking for. They're hollow doors. And that was before we moved in. The carpet was dirty. Now, the lease specifically says that when we exit, we got to steam clean, professionally steam clean all the carpeting. Well, the carpet was dirty before we moved in.
Did you take them into court on this?
I haven't done anything yet. We had no place else to go. She said, well, she was going to take care of it. And then that same summer, that we moved in March of 2019. All summer long, the ice maker didn't work. So we had to keep buying ice. We complained about it. Now it took until like November, October, November, to get somebody out there to look at it. So we were always buying ice. The fences were supposed to be responsible for lawn care. When we moved in, the lawn care was a carpet of dandelions. Well, they came out there, and the lease specifically says she was the leaseor that was responsible for lawn care.
Are you aware of any government agency that maybe has put together some control over that kind of a thing? Because, again, you know, that would be commercial activity and it would be state control. And if there may be something, you know, the statutes or, you know, requirements in some government agency that controls this. It's sort of like the Better Business, but, of course, that Better Business wouldn't necessarily come to play here. But there may be a government agency or statutes that control this. Have you looked into that?
No, all I did is I looked at the North Dakota statutes about leases and that kind of thing, and I kind of printed up, but we moved, and I can't find it. So I have to go back online to look it up. But point being is that she didn't. I mean, every day that we had that lease for 5 years, it was fraud. One after another, thing after another. And she promises made, promises broken. The maintenance guy, he said he was told she wasn't going to fix she wasn't going to do the carpet, she wasn't going to fix the doors. And then at checkout, there was carpet that was damaged. It was a patch job. I used to be into carpet installation and that, so I know how to do this thing. It was a terrible job. At checkout, I pointed it out to her again. That thing got worse and worse. The vacuum cleaner got a hold of it and just ripped the thing out. It's the sloppiest job of semen I ever. I would never let something go like that as a professional myself. And she just looked at me with this weird look on her face. Well, when we get all done, we decided she raised the rent. Every year she raised the rent $100 a month, every year. All right. So now we started out at $1,450, we ended up at $1,950. So she'd been raising the rent. So now when we go to checkout, she says, we didn't have any screen on the windows. There's like eight or nine windows that didn't have screens on. So all the summer, the first year and a half they were there, there was no
screen. Well, again, there may be some statutes that control that.
Okay. What I'm getting at is,
Probably
on
not.
Contract violations, breach, fraud, misrepresentation, duress, and that. What? Now we get down to the end of it. Now she says they had to replace the carpet because of that one place. And she said one of the bedrooms had a urine smell. And says, well, that's because my daughter, she's a Down syndrome, so we have a bucket that she pees into at night. And that smell was in the room. Well, that was gone. I was there when she was doing those checking out stuff, and I seen what she's doing. I said, you're not going to go. She said, well, we have to replace the carpet. So the whole apartment for three floors, you got to replace carpet for because of urine smell? I got it all out. Well, then she towards the end of it, what she did is she sent us a lease, a demand for payment. I sent her and said, I expect her to get a deposit back. This carpet was dirty. I'm not going to clean carpet. It needs to be replaced entirely because it's 15 years old. I was in the carpet business. The average life of carpet is 7 years.
Right, but what do you have a question here for this? I mean,
yes.
We can
what
help
should
you.
I do to counter all this stuff? She's saying we got to pay for resodding the yard.
It's a very simple thing. Listen, it's very simple. Okay, you could start off in the county court, and the county court may charge you, you know, what, $50 or something. It's pretty cheap to get into that. Usually, anyway, I don't know how that county court works.
No, I don't care about that part.
Let me just go through a few little things here.
Yeah, go through.
There's also, are you what are you in? A city, a town, or a village? What are you in?
City.
Okay, so you're in a city. So there are city courts. I don't know how they work, but you know, you can go into the lower courts, which are relatively cheap. Usually,
well,
they're
claiming we owe her $9,000.
I understand that the. There's a dispute on this, but here's the point, okay? Here's the point. You need to take it into court. On the lower courts, it's like going in and just anybody goes. Usually people go in without lawyers and, you know, in these lower courts. And it doesn't seem like there'd be any reason. You're not going up against the status quo. It's a tenant-landlord, disagreement. So you would presume, unless the judge knows that person, you know, you'll get justice. And so you probably will in that case. And all you have to do is take the contract or the lease, shall I say, and lay that together and make your notes and do affidavits concerning every point, what the problem is and how the violation and so on and so forth, and bring it before the judge. If you're not happy with the decision, you can escalate it up through the court system. You can move up the court. Eventually you get into the state court. And then there's the appellate system. But I don't think a case like this would go that far. It sounds like you could probably beat them in the lower court. Usually there's you're not looking for money. You're just looking for them.
Well, I am looking for money, too. I did all the repairs
money,
and stuff.
How much money are you looking for?
Well, here's the thing.
No, how much money,
I've
though?
I've got copies of all the water utility, but this is the one thing that started the
yeah,
whole
but how much? Hold on a minute.
We overbilled by $50 to $60 a month for 5 years. Just let me finish. I'm going to tell you how much money she owes just on the water
department. But we don't have to discuss that because that's a different story. I'm not talking about what is owed for those kind of issues, okay, that you laid money out. So, no, I'm talking about are you looking for some kind of damages beyond those damages? You see, those damages are one thing. Okay, but are you looking for anything beyond that? And what is the total amount, roughly speaking?
That she would owe us? Well,
yeah.
50. I haven't done that math on that yet. But
roughly.
5 years, 60 months times $50. That'd be $3,000 plus the repairs and the labor I put into things. And
yeah, that sounds like it's low enough because there are limitations on the lower courts. And
I think it's $5,000 here in North Dakota.
Okay, so if it's under $5,000 that you're looking for, you don't have a problem. And you can go and you can get justice there. And you don't even have to know, you don't have to go in with a lawyer, let's say, necessarily.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too, just but do those affidavits. What about this notice?
She will come in with a lawyer. And as a matter of fact, she has to come in with a lawyer because she's a business and she can't represent the business. So that has to be represented by a lawyer. So you're going to go up against a lawyer. You want to lay everything out in affidavit form and just be very clear on the violations. And then, you know, don't let the lawyer rattle your cage because they'll do everything they can to do that.
Oh, yeah. I've been involved in that many times. They try to intimidate.
Anybody
okay,
else want
so
to get into the queue?
What about,
like, plus six
what
and
about
a one.
That notice of... You'd mentioned something about that, and I started filling it out, but I just wanted to wait. But we just got last week. Just last week, another bill.
A notice of demand. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, notice and demand. Would that be something to use?
Oh, absolutely. That's where you could begin with. You might be able to get some good satisfaction. And if you lay it out properly and strongly and precisely with every point in an affidavit form, okay, then you've got your court papers ready to go also at the same time by doing a notice and demand. You can find that information under Education Starts Here. You come down to Law, and then and when you come to Law, you go over and you come down to Court Forms and Process. And on this page, you will find notice and demands. Let's see. Instruction forms, traffic court, challenge jurisdiction, move your case, cause, habeas corpus, enforcement. Notice and demand right here. Here's your notice and demand. I think there are 8 points. You got to make sure you cover all 8 points. And then you can go, if they just ignore it, you can go in with a default. You can pursue a default directly in the court to show cause why a default judgment shouldn't be taken against them, because you've done a notice and demand, you've made your case, you have to follow the process.
Is so you can put in there?
You can win before, huh?
The process that you're mentioning, is that in that notice?
Well, that's what it is. It's a notice on demand. We have it in PDF and we have it in Microsoft Word.
It's
a step by step. You just have to make it yours, okay? That's what you have to do. So here's the instructions for notice on demand. Okay, it's pretty simple. You go through the process and just fill in the blanks, so to speak. Be very detailed, very specific. Go through the injuries, what you're looking for, the restitution. Every single point in here has to be made. Then it has to be notarized. So this becomes an affidavit. It becomes the serving of the party. It becomes the default. If they don't answer with the appropriate time, which is usually 30 days, you send them a default and a notice of what is required of them. They'll ignore that too. And then that's when you move it into the court for a show cause why judgment shouldn't be taken against them. Worst case scenario, the judge will retry the whole thing, but your case is already written out.
Okay, so now she's a property manager, and I've had contact with the owners. I found out what the owners were, and was complaining about what she was doing. Well, she knows what she's doing. Well, and whatever. But should I give that notice, also list them as on that notice as well, being he's the owner of the property?
Well, you have to go to the owner. You can't go to the manager. The manager, you can make note about the manager. You're not suing the manager. You've got to sue the property owner. Have you made notification to the owner, the problems?
I have not. I've verbally notified him. But
well,
now this,
no. Send that person a notice and demand. Now you serve them. You have to list everything that you're talking about, every situation. Look, less is more, but you got to get everything in there. Okay, so you want to get everything in there with the minimum amount of words for each point to be made, but enough words to be able to make the point clear. Okay, and as you have to establish the costs and everything, and if you got receipts and all those things, you have to add that in there, and maybe even another affidavit. Well, that when you go into the court, if you have to get into the court system, you're going to maybe want to do one more affidavit, possibly, maybe not. The notice and demand really should be sufficient because you should cover everything in it.
Okay.
You should lay out the winning of your case there. But I got to move on to the next person. If you want, you get back in the queue.
Now, is there a statute of limitations on fraud?
Well, under common law, there's no such thing as a statute, so there are no statute of limitations on anything in common law. But now you're in their system. I don't know what that might be where you're at, if they have any laws on statutes.
What she's threatened to do with it, if I don't pay, she's going to turn over to a collection agency.
Yeah, but you could sue them too, because that doesn't mean anything either.
No, but I mean, should I wait till I get that from the collection agency? Should I serve it to her before I
get
that?
I think you should do your notice and demand and file it to the owner and deal with the problem. You might get it solved right there and then once you give that person the notice and demand. Well, look, here's the thing. They'll look at it, and if they look at it logically and don't call a lawyer, then and they realize that, hey, you got a real good case, they're right, we're wrong, they may settle and just deal with you, and that'll be that. That's number one. If the person, unfortunately, people have this this thing about calling lawyers, so especially people in business, so they'll call a lawyer. The lawyer is going to want to take it into court because they want to make money. Their lawyer is not very rarely. If I don't know if you can find an honest lawyer, they're far and in between. But I have found one or two, but literally that's about it too. And I've talked with a lot of lawyers, okay? But, you know, basically, lawyers are not going to tell them, well, you know, you should settle with the person because there's no money in it for them, okay? So, again, you know, depends on what happens. But you should be able
to win. Well, I did go through a lawyer when this initial fraud thing was, and I got no help at all from them. They said they can pretty much do whatever they want. It's kind of
But with with law, you know, with the common law, because there are no statutes, there's no limitation. The only limitation to the case is the loss of the evidence to win it. Over time, evidence dwindles away. And,
okay, so then now so the North Dakota statute does have some things in there about recovery, you know, from violations of these steps. Okay, could I cite that? Would you recommend citing those statutes?
Well, yes, you can cite any statutes you can use for that, number one. And you can also, most importantly, you want to quote, you know, get the lease in there and the agreements in the lease, and you want to quote the parts of the lease that they violated and lay it out on how they violated it. This is what building a case is all about. But I got to move to the next call.
Okay.
If you want to get in behind them again, you know, you can get back in the queue.
Okay.
And anybody else wants to get into the queue, star 6 and a 1 if you're on a phone, if you're on an app or a browser, there should be a button. Okay, Mark, you got the mic. What state are you from, Mark?
Indiana.
Mark from Indiana. Go right ahead.
I've created started a committee of safety in my county, and we've been invited to another Patriot group on Thursday this week. Mm-hmm. And my question is where do you recommend that I present to them?
You know, to let them know what you're doing and how you form. Well, have you done your charter yet?
No, we have not.
Have you done your resolutions yet?
No.
Well, then you're not a committee of safety yet. You have to get a charter and a resolution, and then you want to get the sheriff on board and start developing. So you want to work on that. What I suggest for you to do, okay, first of all, if you're trying to entice people to look into what you're doing and get them to participate with you, let me go to the wrong page here. Go to our front page on National Liberty Alliance. Okay, are you seeing my desktop? You're on a computer, right?
Yes.
Okay, right on the front page. This I posted up a week or two ago. This is what you want them to watch. National Liberty Alliance presents the only way to save our republic. So we present government by consent. This is 60 minutes long, maybe 61 minutes. And that gives them the idea of what you're doing in a nutshell. That's number one. I showed this to a group of 28 people, and then I spoke to another small group of 15 people, and this is what I shared with them. And we've got 35, 40 people coming together to form the Committee of Safety. First order of business, well, first you want to have that presentation so everybody understands what's going on. So I would take your Committee of Safety and maybe show this video and then talk about it. The next meeting, and I would have two meetings a month until you develop this in order to move it forward quickly. Then the next meeting should be working on your resolutions and your charter. So I'm going to redo the videos that I'd done because I saw they were a little spotty and some of the things didn't come out clear. And I skipped a couple of words when I was reading it, so I want to go back and redo it. So I'll probably do that in the next few days. But in any event, not on this one. The front page one is fine. It's good. But what you want to do is you want to play those two videos, okay? You might want to do one at a time. I'm going to do both of them this Thursday in our meeting. Hoping to get a lot more than 40 people and hopefully people from other counties that want to work to create committees of safety. They could do it together with us right there for their own county if they have enough people. So they only need about 4 people to actually exercise this. And probably do it at 3, too, at least get the formalities done. But what I'm going to do is I'll play the two videos. It's a total of 45 minutes. And then open the floor for discussion for any corrections, anything people want to add to this, and let it be known that, look, at as we go forward, we're going to find that we're going to have to add things to our resolutions. In the resolutions, it lays out also the process of how a Committee of Safety operates. And so there's certain procedures and certain things that we have to agree upon. And so as you have your meetings, as time goes on, you'll discover that you have a deficit here or a deficit there because you need some information to control and give you some rules. So then you'll agree on those rules, you'll add it to your resolutions, and you continue to grow on. But the key thing is you got to get your resolution. You got to get your charter, your resolution done. Then you have to put everything together. You want to pay a visit to the sheriff. We're going to do a video on that, too. This is all in the handbook. We really shouldn't have to do videos. I had done it all in the handbooks. But I don't know, people just aren't reading the handbooks, I guess, so maybe a video will help. And it does make it a little easier and clearer, and it gets the word out to a lot of people, so they kind of get the big picture. But you want to have that meeting, get your paperwork together. You want to get your seal, okay? Then you want to get those, get a couple of those things bound. You can go down if you don't have anybody that can bind it, you know, in your group, because I bind my own stuff here in my own office. But you can go to Office Max, or you can go to Staples or some other place that does copying, and they can bind it for you. And then you put your seal on it. Then you go to the sheriff. That's the real first order of business. Once you organize, you go to the sheriff, and you have a 5-10 minute meeting with him, and letting it be known we'd like him to come visit us in a month. You give him all the necessary information. You got to give him a copy of the Constitution. You know, you get the little handbooks. Constitution handbook. You want to give them a copy of the sheriff's handbook. We have that on our website. You can go. These I would do handbooks for. I wouldn't do PDF runoffs, though. I mean, you can get all our handbooks. You can get runoff. You can find them under Starter Committee of Safety on handbooks, videos, and tools. But when you give it to sheriff or someone in office, you're going to want to give them a book that's bound and has been published. It means more to them to begin with, but it covers everything, and it's something they can stick in their pocket. But you can go to books by John Durash here underneath Welcome. And one of the books, like I got 6 books right now that I'm going to be giving to our sheriff, okay? And those books will be the sheriff's handbook, the county, right here, the county sheriff's common law handbook. That's the book we want to give them. And this is a really good handbook. I forget how many pages. It's probably about 80 pages or so, maybe a little more. It's a thick book. Also, you want to give them a copy of the book Government by Consent, and we have a whole chapter in on the sheriff. So once you give them all that stuff, and you give them your charter, and you give them your resolutions, he understands who you are, what you're doing, and he sees you as someone who could support him, too, and really you're pushing him to know the law and to commit to that law on the next meeting, because now you've given him all the information that he needs in order to understand his power and authority and how he doesn't have to be submissive to the county, the county attorney. And as a matter of fact, he's the sheriff. We didn't elect the county attorney. We elected him, so he should know the Constitution. He should know the law. He should know his powers. He should know his authorities. So, and this is what you're going to help him do. So now he's going to come to the Monday meeting, and he understands at that point, because it's written in. When we read the next, when we do next week, we're going to do the resolutions. And in the resolutions, you're going to see we lay out a lot about the sheriff, a lot more about the sheriff than we did in the charter. And it gets into the detail of his obedience. He has to be obedient. And he's going to know when he comes to your meeting, you're expecting him to be that sheriff that you showed him in the law. That's who we want. We want him. And if you don't want to become that person, then we're going to recall you. The paperwork should be clear about that, and it will be clear. So you should be able to get the sheriff to turn them over, unless they're a criminal. You know, most of them are just ignorant and don't realize, and you it's going to be like an awakening to them, you know? And in most cases, I think it will be an awakening. And in most cases, I think they will be turned. But again, if they don't, recall them. Set up the recall. You're going to have them out, and election's going in 90 days.
Good.
So, all right. Anything else, Mark? Good.
We have that all ready to go, but we just don't have our officers yet, and we don't have our numbers.
Okay, remember, you can use placeholders, number one, someone just to hold the position, do the best they can until someone else that comes in that wants the position. How many people do you have right now, roughly?
We have like 3 committed, and we might have 8 that total. You know.
Okay, yeah, I think you're going to want to have at least 10 or 12 people before you really start that process. So you guys should be meeting as often as possible, at least once a week. And it doesn't have to be, you know, any place physically. It could be on Zoom. It could be on, you know, whatever, your phones, whatever. Just have discussions and ideas on how to get people in. Have you contacted or have you gone up to see if to get a list? Have you contacted Jen to ask a list of people in your county and within your state?
Yes, yes, I do have that, yes.
What state are you in, by the way?
Indiana.
Indiana. All right, well, that might be helpful. And yeah. And you can also get a hold of people in the counties close by. What you want to do, really, is you want to have a presentation, you know, which, again, there's a couple of ways to go about it. You definitely want to get people to listen to the tape on our first, you know, the video on our front page, that first video. But if you come to start a committee of safety and you come down to handbooks, videos, and tools, okay, and you have these two videos here, and underneath here you can download these videos, you can download the PowerPoints, there's some flyers here, you can download the resolution in PDF and in Word, and put all that information. That's for really your meetings here. And there's a protocol. In the resolutions, you're going to see the protocol on how a meeting is to proceed, the process, okay, a protocol. But if you come down a little further, you'll find a seminar instructions, okay? So you could do this is what we did. I've done this already before in other places where there's videos here. This is like doing a 3 or 4 hour presentation. Usually the best thing to do that is on like a Saturday afternoon at noontime or something in a library or somewhere. But we, you know, there's a lot of good videos here, but there's also the introduction to who we are and what we're doing as a committee. But I would use that particular video. I would use the one on our front page, which is the one latest one we did. I may replace the one that's here. Although these are good, you know, our founding fathers and committees of safety, 31 minutes long. Another video, committee of safety presentations, 35 minutes. You know, depending on how much time you want to spend, I would try to get that hour video in, which gives the thing in a nutshell of the committee itself.
Yes. I think they're going to give us an hour and a half total. Yes.
Okay, well, then I would give them, play that video on the front page, and then have a conversation. That's an hour video, and you have a half hour to talk. If you get more, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
But you want to, you're approaching a group of people, right?
They invited us to promote NLA to them.
Okay. And you might want to try to get other people to come to that same meeting.
Okay.
You know? So that how many people do you think are going to show up that they're bringing?
There might be 20 people there, 30 maybe tops.
That's pretty good if you can pull that. I'll tell you what, if you got 20, 30 people who are interested in doing something, I when I showed this presentation, okay, which, you know, I didn't show it, I actually gave it. You know, I did it differently. I have PowerPoints and slides. You can use slides or PowerPoints or just run the video. But when I did the presentation, we had 28 people, and everybody seemed to be really excited about this because they wanted something to do, and they say, this is the answer. They can see it. Once you lay it through, they can see it, you know?
This is already existing Patriot group in the county. So
Neil Sellum this, because this is government by consent. This is our founding fathers did this. This is what they did to create this nation, to control this nation, and to control things before they even decided to become a nation.
Correct, yes.
So
there's no comparison. All they do is sit around every month and talk. You know, they don't really do anything. So
right. Well, that was pretty much the group that I went to. That's what they do. They have different people come and talk, and they try to do. But it's all combobulated. There's no form. There's no structure, and nothing really gets. They get frustrated because nothing could get done because they're really not accomplishing nothing. This brings an accomplishment. It actually shows you how to have government by consent, how to take control of your local government. And that's the big thing that some people are trying to skip. They're trying to deal on a federal problem and they don't have the local problem done. All politics is local. You have to deal with it on the local end. You have to deal with your congressman on your local end just as much as you have to deal with your towns, your village, your cities, and the county itself. And you have to deal with all that and work with other states in order, other counties in order to deal with your state problem. you know. So, but it starts at the grassroots level, and you have to take control of local governments first and work your way up. Some people are trying to go straight for the federal. It's not going to happen. You're not getting real control, and you can't have government by consent. People don't even know how to have government by consent.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I agree.
All right, Mark. I got to move to the next person. Appreciate
Thank
the
you.
Call. Thank you. Okay, Walt from New York. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Yes. Hello, John. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida right now, but I'm want to get back to New York. Rochester, New York area, Webster. But I got to ask you a question, the two of them. There's this person in jail, Livingston County, I won't get into the whole story, but he was charged recently with having a weapon, and he got it out of his pocket. It's all false, the whole thing. It's a ballpoint pen with a little tip on it. Made a weapon on it. They did it deliberately, false charging him because his mother put in a complaint because he got beat up in the prison there, so they're doing that to him. But here's my question. When they charge him with this...
So the person is in jail. He's got a ballpoint pen or something that he put... or some kind of pen he put a point to it, so it became a weapon.
No, he never had it. They said he did. They charged him with it. Here's the thing. When they charged him with it, he says, I want you to take fingerprints. They wouldn't do it. I could tell you the whole story to prove it's all false, but so this lady, the mother of this young man... was my former wife. She told me, she called this other judge in Georgia. He's a real good guy, Judge Nally. Very good. He's a patriot like us. And he said, but she missed it. She didn't remember what he said the other night, that you can force them to go back and do fingerprints or something. Do you know what the rule, the law is on that, John?
Yeah, you would have to go to the court to get a court order to be done. You're not going to get it done without a court law or order. I don't see any way to get around it.
Here's the thing, though. She's hostile towards this man. She's totally prejudiced against this
Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. If they're bringing charges against him, that brings them into the court, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's already in jail already.
But still, if the charges are pending and he's got to go to court for them, right?
Yes.
Okay, even though this particular situation is taking place in the prison, and they're charging him with, I guess, further charges other than would put him into prison, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that has to go to court. And when you get into the court, he must have some kind of representation. This should be an easy one.
I know I have the telephone number to his attorney. I've been leaving messages for him. So if you can give me some direction here, I can leave a message for this attorney what he has to go to court about this.
Well, you know, how the person that's in jail, okay, you should talk with that person and talk with the lawyer and maybe if necessary tell that person to tell the lawyer to give you a call so that you can give him some thoughts or whatever. But that lawyer should know already that that's what they should be looking to do.
Right.
You bring up the fingerprint thing.
All right. Another thing too, John, is this. I saw the indictment. It's distilled from the grand jury indictment. It's all false. You could pick through everything. But here's what I want to ask you. That DA that signed that indictment, doesn't he have to have like a sworn affidavit when he signs that there's nothing there?
Mm-hmm. That DA should not be signing any indictment. That right there makes it a false paper. It has nothing to do with them. I know they set the system up in order to control. But look, they've taken control of our grand juries. They've taken control of our petit juries. They keep us ignorant. They tell you what the law is, and what the law is not what they say it is. With the grand juries, for instance, okay, when a grand jury comes to a decision, the only signature needed on that paper to put that indictment or presentment or whatever they're doing to put that through is one signature, and that is the grand jury foreman. Now, they have pushed it. They did the same thing in New York here, too, where they require that paper can't go forward unless the prosecutor or the attorney general or whoever is running that they also put a signature on it also, okay?
Can I say something real quick? They had a grand jury indictment that was sealed. So then what happens is they cover that up, and then the DA comes out with, I'll tell you what it says, the first sentence. Livingston County, through this indictment, charges Austin so-and-so of this charge. So the DA made his own indictment, not a grand jury indictment. He just signed it at the bottom. Now, that's false, right? Because he has to swear to that, correct?
Well, you don't understand. The only reason that signature is there is for the court to see it and say, okay, we're going to let this go through as an indictment because we got our buddy there that's controlling the whole thing, and none of us are in jeopardy of going to jail, so, hey, let's let it go through. If that signature's not on it, it's just going to prevent it from going through. You see, they've taken control of the grand jury. That's the problem, okay? That's my point. So, that's why in common law, there's only two individuals that can go before the grand jury. Only two, okay? And occasionally people can talk, but that's very rare. Generally speaking, it's the sheriff and the coroner. That's it. Nobody else can go to that grand jury. But they turned everything around. They kicked out the coroner, they kicked out the sheriff, and they put the district attorney in there, which is a bar member. He's one of the gang. He's one of the minions of the New World Order, whether he knows it or not. That's what he is, because he pushes the agenda of the bar, which is to destroy our republic. That's the purpose of the bar. People need to understand that. The purpose of the bar is to destroy our republic.
Yes.
Everything they have done has destroyed us. Everything. So, the whole thing is unlawful. It's hard to get justice until after devolution and we get our courts of justice back. It's hard to get justice. Occasionally you get it. But I'll tell you, you should be able to win the case through the lawyer itself, okay? And, it's unfortunate that they don't know the law where they can take care of their own business, but so you got to get a bar attorney. This is a slam dunk for the bar attorney. If there is something with the fingerprints and they can't prove, or whatever the case may be, you know.
One thing, John, real quick. There's two reports here. We actually saw the minutes, some of them, from the grand jury minutes, where it says the young man, the officer in the prison went up to the young man, and he frisked him and got this pen out of his pocket with a tip on it. But on the memorandum for another officer that was a witness there, not in the grand jury minutes, it says that the young man offered the pen. He wasn't frisked. So you see, there's a contradiction here, so it's all false.
I am beside myself hearing what you're saying. You mean the grand jury does minutes and they put it out for people to see it?
This is crazy. No, what happened, John, is this. This attorney took the middle part of the grand jury minutes. The first seven pages are missing. They won't let, and it's a seal.
Look, stop. My point I'm trying to make is there is no minutes for them. There should be nothing for people to see. Look, at the grand jury is shown all of the evidence. They make a decision. It's all, secret, and the grand jury, the jury's foreman signs it, and that's it. It moves forward. There's no one to read or understand or hear or know or anything that goes on in that room that's secret, that belongs.
Well, it's on each page. John.
That's the people's business. You see, that's the problem we have.
Can I say this? She was given by this attorney seven pages between 8 and 17. The first seven pages are missing in the last. And we saw in the minutes there, in each bottom of the page was a transcriber's company name. So we talked to this Judge Nally in Georgia about it. He says those are the minutes of the grand jury they were taken.
I don't understand how they can get it.
I know that. So I told Jeannie, tell the attorney you want the first seven pages and the last, because they're hiding it. It's going to show the whole truth about there was another person that was with this.
Don't you understand? There should exist no minutes. It's only a decision of the grand jury. There should be no minutes.
All right, I'll tell that to the mother of this young man tomorrow.
Yeah, but it's not going to go nowhere because the lawyer, they probably do this all the time, and I was unaware of that, but now it's the first time I'm hearing this, and everything's in secret. You see, again, look at this is what people need to understand, and it should rile people up to get involved once they understand this, okay? And that is, this is the people's business. Nobody No elected individual, no appointed individual belongs in our courts. This is the people's court. Now, it is true we need someone to certify it that has to have authority, and that is, but we don't want a judge in there. We'll take a magistrate. A magistrate could come in, but they can't make any decisions. They can't decide the evidence to come in or not in. All evidence is valid, okay? They can't decide that this situation is settled this way or that way. No, it's the people's business, and the jury hears the case, and the magistrate is there just to certify everything, to make things move along, okay, in an order, sort of like a traffic cop, and then put the seal and the signature certifying the will of the jury. That's in the trial court now, okay? That's how that operates. With the grand jury, again, the only people there should be maybe an interpreter if it's necessary, okay? And the charges being brought before the jury by the sheriff or by the coroner, and if they wanted to bring witnesses in for some reason, I guess they could, but I don't think that's necessary. But in any event, they could bring people in to talk to the grand jury. The grand jury could ask these people questions. But generally, it's just the case being brought before the jury, grand jury. One of the problems is these prosecutors, they're just trying to get as many cases as they can, get as many convictions as they can. They want to get as many indictments as they can, because they're building their career up that way, I guess. But they're doing all that. They may get evidence that proves that this person is not guilty of that, and they won't bring that in, okay? Now, with that evidence, that's why the sheriff has got to be the one, because they don't have no skin in the game. They're not a lawyer, and they'll get all the information, and then they have to turn over the information that might clear the person, too, and then the sheriff might do a little more investigation. And that sheriff may look at the evidence and say, hey, look, there's more evidence here saying he's innocent than guilty. I'm not bringing this before the grand jury. That'll never happen with these district attorneys. And that is
okay.
The problem. Our courts are destroyed.
John, are you saying, though, there's not supposed to be any recording of that grand jury hearing?
There's not supposed to be any recording. Why would they want to record anything that the grand jury is dealing with? Okay. Now, as far as the evidence being produced, okay, to some degree, of course, got to be recorded to be brought into the system, but that goes into the court, okay? But whatever's going on in there and the grand jury's conversations and things, none of that should be anywhere with that kind of a thing. So,
okay, John, I thank you so much.
Maybe a stenographer will be there just for the sole purpose of a witness comes in to make the case, make points. But other than that, again, the evidence that the sheriff brings in would also be recorded, but doesn't necessarily have to be recorded by a stenographer, I'd imagine. But maybe that's okay.
But John,
yeah?
One more thing, real quick. I'm glad that there's minutes, even though it's wrong, because in those minutes, it says that this young man that had that ballpoint pen had another person with him walking, and they don't even bring him into it and frisk him because they said they were both suspicious. But how come only this one young man got searched, supposedly, not the other one that was with him?
Again, that's the evidence being brought in by individuals or the prosecutor, okay? That of course needs to be recorded because it does have to go into the court, okay? But then after that, then the stenographer has to leave and conversations take place and decisions are made. It has nothing, no business of anyone else but that jury itself, and that's the point that I need to really be clear on.
Okay, well that stenographer records the minutes, right, of that hearing, right?
Only the witnesses, only the evidence.
Well, yeah, that's what we've seen. We've seen 7 pages of that.
Okay, well, then that's going to go into the court in order to pursue the case because that's
how
what
they do. How come they don't let them see the first 7 pages and the last? How come they only see the middle? They're not allowed to see the whole thing?
I will tell you, I'm suggesting at this point that maybe the discussions of the grand jury themselves have been recorded, and that may be what they're not showing. But nevertheless, that shouldn't exist at all.
Okay.
That's
John,
all.
Also, one more thing. Your booklets, if I have your address, if I send you money, can you send me those booklets through the mail?
What booklets?
Well, you got all those booklets. You said you got six or seven. You got the common law grand jury. You got the sheriff's grand jury or common law booklet. Those kind of booklets.
Yeah. Well, go under Welcome. Click on Books by John Duress. They're all published. They're all out there up on Amazon. Okay.
They're on Amazon.
Yeah, all of them. If any one of them you can click on, it'll give you more information or take you right up to for sales right there on Amazon. Now,
The
other thing is, hang on a minute, let me go back. Well, no, I'm on another different page. Okay. All these books, you can get information. You can download all of these handbooks. They could be downloaded for free in PDF form. Okay, you'll find that under Starter Committee of Safety. Come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools, and you click on that, and then you can download those handbooks that are on this page. Okay, but you know, if you want it in printed, like a pocket handbook, you know, with a
yes.
you know, in nice and printed and stuff. By publishing it, you can get those. Definitely, any books you want to give to the sheriff, you don't want to do it in PDF. You want to do it in a book form. That's
yes.
important. Sheriff gets that, you know.
All right. So go to Amazon.
Just go to Welcome page. Come down to Books by John Duress. Click on that. Okay. And then you can order the Government by Consent book. You click on that, get information, and you click the order button. Same thing with Court Access and the Common Law, and then the Pocket Handbooks. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much, John. Thank you for
okay.
the information.
All righty. Okay, with that, we're going to end our program for the night. Good night, everybody. And Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. I'm going to get out an email to New York people. Anybody in the lower counties that want to come to our meeting on Thursday, it could be advantageous. May have enough people there from your county, hopefully, to actually create one right there and then and take it back to your county and then go through presentations to pull more people in. All right. Good night, everybody.